If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
6619. From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. From Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust in the Justice Department in the Carter Administration to Chief Operating Officer of the Disney Company to local politics, all tonight on Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Sanford Sandy Litvak held several senior leadership positions at the Disney Company, served as Senior Vice President and General Counsel, and then Senior Executive Vice President and Chief of Corporate Operations, essentially COO, and as Vice Chairman of the Board of Directors. In his government leadership positions, he served as Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Antitrust Division at the U.S. DOJ under President Carter, selected by President George W. Bush to serve as a member of the Antitrust Modernization Commission, and most recently almost pulled off a major upset in local politics as a Democrat running for first selectman, equivalent to being mayor in the historically Republican town of Greenwich, Connecticut. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us in studio. What a background. Really fascinating stuff. It was, you were allegedly, I say allegedly because it was a quote of yours, I don't know if it's accurate or not, that your job was to follow Michael Eisner around with a shovel.
No.
Did you not say that?
Absolutely not. That's a misquote. It's Michael Ovitz that I allegedly said that about.
Oh, okay.
And I did say it about Michael Ovitz.
It's probably about Michael Eisner. Fits there.
Yeah.
We're going to go into a lot of detail on Eisner, but just in the big picture of this stuff, he seemed like a really flawed leader, and that he had 10 super great performance years, and then maybe 10 years of almost warfare. Is that fair?
No. I don't think that's fair. I think Michael was a very good leader, and he did have 10 great years, and he did have flawed years. That part is true.
Okay.
But that part is true for anyone who stays anywhere for 20 years.
For too long,
That's just the nature of the job. Michael was a great leader. He inspired people. He did a lot of great things. He's probably the most creative person I personally have ever known. But like all of us, he's not perfect. He had his flaws, and sometimes after a while and you stay too long, and I don't care whether you're the CEO of a corporation or the manager of a baseball team, after a while, it's very hard to make.
Billy Martin,
right.
Give us the highlights of the stuff you did, and I saw that you were involved in the Euro Disney debt restructuring, the Cap Cities, and of course the Ovitz firing, but give us some of the highlights of your own career.
Well, I don't know if you're talking about a Disney, those things were highlights. I think the only one you left out is part of that trilogy of events was Jeffrey Katzenberg coming and going.
We're going to talk about
Michael Ovitz, of course.
Yeah.
But really, I suppose the highlight of my Disney career, at least for me, was Disney itself and Michael. But it's hard to separate the two. Disney's an unbelievable organization, and it's unbelievable not just merely because of the people, and they really have talented people, but because they're into so much and so many different things. And, of course, that's expanding today with the proposed acquisition of the 21st Century Fox assets. But beyond that and before that, obviously, as a lawyer, as a business person, they cut across so many legal issues, so many business issues. It was just a fabulous experience. And candidly, when I first did it, I didn't realize how good it would be.
It's great. It is a great company. I have Disney stock, too, by the way.
It's a good thing to have.
Now, I have to ask this. I know it's a pain. Harvey Weinstein.
Hi.
And I'm going to use the famous Howard Baker. What did you know and when did you know it? You were the general counsel, so people obviously assume, oh, he was negotiating all kinds of non-disclosures with the guy.
No. When did I know it? I think I was sitting in this studio in a debate with
First Electric.
Peter Tesi. I may have known it the day before. Whenever it broke, that's to answer the question, when did I know? That's the first I knew of anything like that. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I never liked Harvey. He and I didn't get along. I candidly, subject to the libel laws, I'll say it, I thought Harvey was a bad guy.
Yeah.
But not in this sense. I had no thought. As a lawyer at the company when I was general counsel, I had nothing to do with Miramax. Part of the Miramax deal that was made, and I was not involved in making the deal, and it was an excellent deal for the company, was that they kept their autonomy. And part of their autonomy was legal had nothing to do with them. And so I had nothing to do with Harvey in that context. Later, when I became chief operating officer, I did deal with Harvey, never on non-disclosure agreements, never on lawsuits, never on settlements of things, strictly business.
But he was a jerk.
Oh, total. But, in fairness to the guy, and I don't no one's being fair to him
right now.
They
were successful, yeah.
He was enormously successful. No one was the marketer that he was. No one had the eye that he did. You know, he would go to a festival, and he'd pick out these movies, and I don't care whether it's The English Patient or The King's Speech. No one else saw them.
Pulp Fiction, which is amazing.
Pulp Fiction. No one else saw them. He did. And then he marketed the hell out of them. And the man was a genius in that regard. He may be a jerk. He may be a whatever.
Predator.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But a talent.
It's really sort of unfair that people are trying to smear you with him,
candidly, no one was really. Peter did. I don't know why he did. One of these days I'm going to ask him to tell you the truth because I thought it was kind of beneath him. He's not that kind of guy. Peter's not that way. I suspect that somebody of less integrity than Peter told him to do it, and in a weak moment he did. I suspect he isn't really proud of that.
All right, we'll move back to Eisner now. What do you consider his biggest successes there?
Well,
financial, by the way.
Well, certainly he came out okay.
No, I don't mean him personally. That company was on the verge of going.
Totally, both he and the company, and he deserved everything he got. You got to remember, he came in 1984 with a company that was, as you just started to say, on a major decline. It hadn't done anything in the film world for a long time. What Michael was able to do was two things, really, in my judgment. He was able to foresee where to move. In other words, he understood the importance of the animation. He understood the importance of the television assets. He understood a variety of things. And the second thing, which is important, is, and people don't understand this enough about Disney, in my opinion, it's all about synergy. What makes Disney work and what Michael brought and Bob and everyone have taken advantage of, wisely so, is the synergistic effects. He brought everything together. Whereas I was saying just before that no one was the marketer in a way that Harvey Weinstein was, no one had the vision for synergy the way Michael Eisner did. And that was the greatest thing he brought to Disney, in my judgment.
He was a real strong leader, some would say an autocrat. Was being an autocrat and being creative compatible? How did he do that?
Yeah, he is enormously, enormously creative. He clearly could be autocratic at times. Given our current president, Michael was hardly an autocrat by comparison. But yes, he could be. Every leader can be. And were they compatible? Yes, generally. That's why he was successful. Were there times when it didn't work quite as well as it might have? Yes, there were. And were there run-ins that he had with people that he would have been better advised not to have? Absolutely true. But in that sense, the only thing I would add is, A, that happens to all of us, and B, it's part of him. I mean, he is so, he can walk in and he can start to tell you a story And I would just get enthralled, and there'd be no truth to it. He just made it up.
Sounds like Trump.
He was just creative. Well, he wasn't doing it for those purposes. But he was just so creative. You know, if you said to me now, well, tell me a story, make up a story. I'd have to sit here for 15 minutes to think of a subject. He could do it in 30 seconds.
In terms of the failures, let's talk about what you just alluded to, killing his successors. They had to pay Jeffrey Katzenberg, I think, like $200 million, and Ovitz, like $140 million. That's some squandering corporate assets, isn't it? They could have got Katzenberg for $60 million. Talk a little bit about both those.
Well, they were two very different situations. Jeffrey was an enormous talent who contributed a lot to the company. And the falling out between Michael and Jeffrey was in many ways unfortunate but inevitable. The relationship was such, in my judgment, and I thought that from the get-go, that it had to come to an end in an unhappy way.
And he was never really qualified to be a number two, even though that was sort of hanging there?
I wouldn't say he wasn't qualified. I would say Michael was never going to make him the number two. I mean, there was like a father-son relationship there and a competition. To say love-hate is to overstate it. But a respect, yes, but a challenge. You know how fathers and sons can have that kind of relationship? In my judgment, Jeffrey and Michael had that kind of relationship. It was just never really going to accept him as an equal or as his successor.
You listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the BizTalk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, listen over the Internet, access our archives. We're going to talk Disney's DNA and some of the key players there, and we'll get into the Michael Ovitz story next segment.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
Biz Talk Radio.
Back with the former chief operating officer of the Disney company, Sandy Litvak. And before we get into Disney's DNA, I want to ask about Ovitz, because it's always amazed me. They were best friends. He wooed him for all this time, and then he gives him a job, no power. Ovitz didn't even realize, right? He allowed people to say, I'm not reporting to them. You didn't report to him.
Well, first of all, it has always been overstated as to how close they were as friends. Okay. Their wives were very close.
Okay.
And as a result, they certainly were friends. I don't mean to diminish that, but it's been made to seem like they were brothers. They were not. Michael was always hesitant about Michael Ovitz. The story, candidly, is the following. When we bought Cap Cities ABC, Michael was hesitant to do that. And in that sentence is Stephen Bolenback, who was our CFO, and myself, really pushed for that.
Best deal ever done.
Fabulous deal. Yeah. Fabulous deal. I don't think we knew how good it would be, but it was great. But he was hesitant. You have to remember, Michael had just had surgery, heart surgery, in July of that year. Frank had died in the plane crash. Just to put this thing in sequence, and in or about April 1, March 20-something or other, Frank died in a helicopter crash. Big blow to Michael and what have you, and to all of us. In July of that same year, Michael suffers not a heart attack, but a heart incident, which required bypass surgery. And neither you nor I, or at least certainly not I, and maybe not you, have ever gone through that.
Right.
But it is a shattering event for people and scares the hell out of most people who go through that, because it tells you about our mortality. Yeah. And so he was just coming back from that. He had probably just started working again in maybe September or October. And so we were into the first year, and then we had gone through the whole episode with Jeffrey right upon his return. And then Jeffrey left in October of 94, as I recall. And now we're shifting into the summer of 95, and we're looking to it. Steve had joined us in March or April of 95, and we're looking into acquiring a network. And really it came down to CBS or ABC, and we were back and forth, and we finally decided on ABC. And we did the deal. Michael was concerned. He was concerned because he is naturally fiscally conservative, yep, and he was worried about, were we biting off too much?
Yep.
But we did it. And right after we did it, and here's the incident, shortly after, Bob Iger, who was then the operating head at ABC, came to Aspen and met with Michael and brought with him a series of books, huge notebooks, of the various contracts that had to be renewed, of all the issues that ABC, like every other company, faces. And all of a sudden, it hit Michael, but more importantly, his wife, Jane. My gosh, look at all this. Yeah, you need help. And Jane was worried about her husband. You know, he was within a year of having had this major surgery. And I think she very much, as a devoted wife, which she was and is, wanted him to get help. She saw Michael Ovitz out there. Michael,
so good intentions. Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Michael at that time had just gone through an abortive romance with Universal. He was leaving to go. He wasn't. They wanted him. They didn't want him. He wanted too much money. It hadn't worked. And so Michael was at sixes and sevens, Michael Ovitz. He had sort of, not completely, burned his bridges at CAA by virtue of the public flirtation with Universal. And so he was kind of really up in the air. He therefore seemed like a perfect solution. And Michael Eisner bought into that. Michael himself, I think, candidly, as soon as they were walking down the aisle to be married, realized he had made a mistake, but it was too late to turn around. And I think he decided at that point to give Ovitz a chance, but I think he probably in his heart always thought it wasn't going to work, and it did not work from day one.
Kind of sabotage. Now, you're quoted as being the guy that went in to inform Ovitz, and it says you said, Michael doesn't want you in this company, you're being terminated. Did you say it like that?
Close. I don't know that I used those precise words. I think I said something to the effect, I can't repeat my exact words, Michael, I did not say you're being terminated. That I would not have said, but I certainly would have said, look, it's not working. Michael really doesn't want you here. I think we ought to talk about how we end this. And I remember, and what he said to me is, if Michael feels that way, Michael should tell me. And I turned to him and I said, you know what? You're right. Michael should tell you. Why the hell am I sitting here telling it to you? Okay. And I left.
Let me ask you, did you have any conflict of interest in the sense that you thought you might have been an heir apparent yourself?
Yes and no. I clearly thought I was an heir apparent at one point, and I was clearly disappointed when Ovitz was hired, although by that time I pretty much figured I wasn't going to be. Okay. By the time we were talking about Ovitz leaving, no, I knew I was never going to be it.
Do you think you would have been good in the job, or was...
Do I think I would have been good? Yeah. Yeah, I think I would have been very good. I think I would have been good for Michael. The truth is, at least in my perception, if you were talking to Michael Eisner, you'd get a very different answer. You understand that.
Yeah.
In my perception, I wasn't, and I never was, Hollywood enough for Michael.
Right.
I wasn't part of the, and I never wanted to be.
Right.
I mean, I went out there and I made a decision. I was not going to join the Hollywood scene. I never did. I don't wear that as a badge of honor. It was just a judgment.
Smart.
But, well, I don't know that it was smart, but it was me. I wasn't comfortable. And I don't think he ever felt comfortable with me in that sense.
Seeing you as that?
Yes. I don't think he ever saw me that way. I think Michael liked me and respected me, but saw me more as a lawyer.
I want to ask you now, in the remaining minutes here, I'm going to give you some names, and I want just the first thing that comes to your mind kind of thing, okay? Steve Jobs. Now, is it true that he refused to deal with Eisner on the Pixar thing because he didn't like Eisner?
Yes.
Yeah, which that's it. Bob Iger.
Good guy.
Is he the right guy?
Has been.
Okay, Warren Buffett.
Fabulous.
Because he's my hero. Go ahead.
Mine too. Fabulous. Love Warren. Tell your stories about Warren. I would tell you stories, not that he and I were buddies, because we were not, but every moment I spent with him was just a delight.
Brilliant.
He's so human, more than brilliant.
He is.
He's human.
Yeah.
He's human.
You know, his secretary just asked me for a segment. We covered the Berkshire Hathaway in the lobby of the big hotel there, asked for a segment we'd done 2 years ago with one of his big initial shareholders. Yeah. So it's amazing. And right linked with Buffett, because I really respect these guys, Dan Burke and Tom Murphy, the Cap Cities guys.
I knew Tom better than Dan. Good guy, Tom. I liked him, a delightful human being. Dan was, I didn't know him well, a little more standoffish. I know Steve, his son.
Oh, yeah, what about his son?
Steve's a good guy. Steve's a very talented guy. I wish Steve had stayed at Disney.
Should they have kept him at Disney? I mean,
well, he left.
He's running Comcast.
Yeah, yes, he is. I wish Steve had stayed at Disney.
Now, here's a guy that we've interviewed twice. I really like the guy.
Who's that?
And he's not a suit either, but he was really successful. Bob Wright.
I don't really know Bob.
You
don't
Wright.
I do not.
Because you guys, did you guys look at NBC? Didn't
we
you?
We did. We did, but I did not have a deal with him.
Barry Diller, quick.
Oh gosh, talented, difficult. Never really related to him personally.
Listen to Business Talk with Jim Campbell. We're going from Hollywood to D.C., Washington, D.C. next.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just go to 11ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.11ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 11ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
And we're back with Sandy Litvak. He was Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust in the Carter administration. I want to start off with the kind of a, you've worked for these guys, Carter indirectly, but kind of a moralist and idealist, all the things you hear about him. And Eisner, you certainly got to say, was Machiavellian. And yet Eisner's obviously viewed as a great success, and Jimmy Carter's presidency was not. Talk about that.
Well, without accepting all the characterizations, Michael was a success. And President Carter, I suspect, certainly is viewed as not having been a success as a president, and I think I would probably agree with that. I think he's been a better ex-president than he was a president.
Yes. The best ex-president.
Yeah. So why wasn't President Carter? I'll give you my take. I'm not sure I'm particularly qualified to express an opinion, but I will. One of the dangers, and you're seeing this now, is coming to be president without having been a part of Washington, while it always sounds good to the electorate, and therefore you get elected by saying, I'm not part of Washington, the truth is...
It doesn't work.
The truth is, there is a bureaucracy, and it, by the way, the bureaucracy is not a bad thing, and there is a history and there is a learning that takes place, and it is a process. And in my judgment, those presidents who have been best have been part of a process. Now, maybe it's a state process and not the federal government process. That's fine. And Jimmy Carter was a one-term governor, of course, in Georgia. But I think that's very different than Washington. And he came following President Nixon and President Ford. And he came into a very difficult situation. And then, bluntly, he got a lot of bad breaks. I mean, Iran, those are bad breaks. The helicopter going down in the desert, that's a bad break. That helicopter doesn't go down, and those hostages are rescued. Yeah.
Interesting thing
I think he'd be president.
There's an example of what, that's off, also cited as an example of why he failed, is he tried to micromanage it because he's an engineer.
Well, I think there is some truth to that. I think one of President Carter's great failings was he got stuck in the weeds. He was, you know, we always talk about being smart. I suspect within our lifetime, the two smartest presidents in terms of raw intelligence that we have were Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton did have a lot of success. Jimmy Carter, I think, was and is brilliant.
Yeah.
But part of the problem was he got bogged down in details. I mean, you could see that at every level of government.
You know what really I think
did.
His biggest...
He cared so much.
His biggest contribution was Paul Volcker. You know, this country was saved by getting those rates down. It made the whole Reagan administration. The other thing is, you know, people don't remember, Carter started airline and trucking deregulation.
Absolutely. I know that very well. And he was very good. I can tell you, though, on the other hand, as I say, he was so careful and he cared so much. He would get bogged down in detail. We had one time that we had an option memo going to the president on a position for the administration to take on a particular piece of legislation. And we, the Department of Justice, and I specifically, had a point of view on the legislation which was different than some of the other agencies. And what you do is you basically write a couple of sentence reason for the why I felt that the law should be modified in a particular way.
Uh-huh.
The president sided with the other side, not with what I was proposing, but, and here's the point of the story, he had to manually hand-wrote a note next to the thing explaining why he thought my concerns, or our concerns, were unwarranted and that how they could be addressed or were being addressed by other things that were going on. And he took the time to handwrite that. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? And then later I thought, I don't think he can do that as president and be effective.
Not the best usage of his time. Tell us, what do you find the basic differences between corporate and government?
I used to joke about the fact, and there are a lot of similarities. I used to joke about the fact that much of my life was in a law firm, and I used to say where I was a partner, and I used to say I prefer the government and Disney corporate to law firms because I know who's my boss in the government, and I know who's my boss at Disney, and I know whose boss I am in the government and at Disney. And at the law firm, I thought I was everyone's boss, and they all thought they were my boss. So it was always kind of confusing. But there are a lot of similarities between the government and a large corporation like Disney. And one of them is there are usually, if effective, fairly clearly defined lines of authority and responsibility. The attorney general was my boss. I had no question about that. There were people between us. Michael Eisner was my boss. There was no question about that. I knew who reported to me in both roles. I think that makes for a pretty good organizational framework, and it's just dependent upon the
people.
Well,
let me ask you in this sense, then. The people often say that the power of the CEO is not directly transferable because of all the interests in Washington. And, you know, Trump's an example of coming in as a pure businessman. Do you think that transition is easier than it looks then? Or
No. I don't know that it's easier than it looks. It's hard. I mean, the government is a massive operation, and it's impossible to get your hands around everything. You know, in the end of the day, Jim, the truth is in government and at Disney, and in most things, you live or die by the people around you. You are no better than the people you pick. You know, Trump said, I pick the best of the best. Yeah. He doesn't. But you are no better. I mean, I look good at times because of the people who supported me. Yeah. And the times I didn't look so good is when I didn't listen to the people who supported me.
His ego won't allow him to do that. I mean, the White House has been completely dysfunctional.
Totally dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the people. And you got to be able to listen to the people. You got to trust the people. You know, Jimmy Carter used to say, you dance with the people who you brought there. And that's true. You bring the right people, and then you stay with them.
What were the big things you made your mark on at antitrust? Was the IBM and Microsoft cases going on then?
IBM was. Microsoft was not.
Okay.
AT&T and Microsoft and IBM were the two cases.
Oh, the breakup of AT&T. Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
tell
that,
us about, yeah.
That I was very much involved in. The AT&T case had been brought before I was there, but the trial started when I was there, and we were trying to negotiate to resolve the case. And we were on the verge, it's kind of interesting, we were on the verge of a settlement, a resolution of the case. It would have involved, as I remember it, and I don't remember all the details, some divestitures by AT&T. And I'm not sure what their perspective would be, but my perspective was Reagan had been elected, hadn't taken office yet, and they were convinced that an incoming Republican administration would be a hell of a lot better.
They stalled the clock. Yeah.
So they stalled the clock and it ran out. And then Reagan appointed as Assistant Attorney General a fellow by the name of Bill Baxter, who came in. And who was harder than nails on this particular thing. Bill and I disagreed about a lot of things philosophically about antitrust. But on this particular thing, he was harder than nails. And he drove a tougher bargain than I ever did.
Were you guys they pushing for baby bells?
We weren't nearly as far along as he was. So we would have had some divestitures, but not what he got. He got a far better deal. And interestingly enough, I was up testifying on the Hill. I was called to testify before the House Judiciary Committee. Peter Rodino was the chair. This is after I was gone. And Peter is a Democrat, and I'm a Democrat. And so he called me up, and he asked me publicly, this is on the record, he said, so without getting into the details, because the details of what I was negotiating were never publicly disclosed and still haven't been, he said, without getting into it, was your deal was better than what Baxter got, wasn't it, for the government, for the public?
And you said no, yeah.
I said absolutely not. No, I think he did a better job than I did. He kind of, and Baxter wrote me the nicest note afterwards.
But
the point of the story was, so yes, I was involved. I was very much involved. It was a major. I guess I played a major role in it. But at the end, Bill Baxter.
And maybe because they were a Republican administration,
yeah,
they had more room.
They could do probably things that we couldn't, yeah.
So where do you think you made your mark? What did you have the most fun doing? Or
I had the most fun every day of the job. Every day of the job.
Is it a big, huge, that even that building's intimidating?
It's the best job in the world. I gave a speech once to the American lawyers in Paris, is while I was still at Disney. And I was asked a question, what was the best, gosh, you've had a great career, what was the best job you ever had? Being at Disney must be great. And I said, Disney is great. The best job I ever had was Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Antitrust Division, working in the government. It was the best time of my life. Professionally, best time.
Did you have pretty much independence there, or did Civiletti, how did the...
Well, and that's an interesting story by itself. Ben... There's so much to say on that score, which I'm not going to get into. But, no, Ben did not interfere a lot. Ben was far more, in my judgment, far more, what's the word I'm looking for? Administratively inclined. He wasn't so much inclined with the substance of the day-to-day.
Policy, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll see the Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, YBC, and Greenwich WGCH. Final segment, we're going to look at local politics next.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570, that's 800-430-7570.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619. 615-6619.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
And our final segment with Sandy Litvak, corporate executive and government leader, and now a local pal, 81 years young, if I have that right, which you look fantastic. Why the heck would you want to get into local politics?
Well, that's a good question. That's an excellent question. As I said at the time I was running, I really was impacted, as a lot of people were, by the election in November of 2016 and President Trump being elected. And I decided, and I believe, that the country and every part of it, the state, the town, really needs new direction and needs help. And I'm not sure we're headed the right way. And I thought it was important that another voice be heard in this town. And I thought it was important that I speak up on issues. And so I decided to do it. It was not an easy decision, I assure you.
I was going to say, and you know, they say all politics is local, but normally national politics isn't local. I mean, how much of the motivation was the worry about Trump and what, you know?
Well, I think a fair amount of it was in my mind because I think, candidly, and I said this during the time I was running, I think there are elements here in Greenwich that are, call them right wing, call them conservative, call them whatever you want to call them, they're antithetical to things that I believe, and I'm concerned. And I'm concerned, as I said at the time, about the discourse. You know, and I said when running for this job, which is very different, a job I did not win as first selectman, is one of the things about being in my position in life and my age is there is no next job. I don't have to worry about it. You just do what you think is right.
You got no ego.
And I think, and I think if you're going to run for governor, that's the attitude you have to have.
Get it done.
Get it done. I'm not.
And that's
going to
the trouble is that's antithetical in politics. Everybody's looking.
It is totally antithetical in politics because everyone has a next job, a next step, a next place they want to be.
And they never finish. They never finish the current
job.
It's
good just to finish the one.
Now let me ask you this: Greenwich, as you know, is a very conservative town, and now I'm not talking politically. I'm talking change. Budget, we keep our taxes low. What is it that you think that needs to be done that's of a profound change, enough for you to want to get involved?
Well, I think Greenwich has challenges, as I've said. I think that we have been the beneficiaries of being the financial capital, if not just of the state, but perhaps of the country, putting New York aside for a moment. And I think that's changing. And I think, therefore, we have economic challenges. I think we have challenges because we are in a state with all the issues that you have just identified. And so people are moving out. We have challenges because our population is getting older and our cost structure is such that it's very hard for younger people to live here in town. Yeah. All of those are challenges that have to be addressed. And I'll go one step further, Jim, and say this, you know, recognizing that it will not ring well with a lot of people, including people in my own party. Part of Greenwich's problem, in my view, mm-hmm. and I know it's an asset and people love it, and it's right. I'm not going to change it. I understand that.
Right.
Is the town is so structurally fragmented. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about its political structure, which was nice for the 18th century. I'm not so sure it's nice for the 21st
century. It's not good for managing change.
So to get things done, that's my point. If you want to change things, if you want to get things done, there's nobody who can do that. And the town is designed so that no one can
do that.
That.
And you think it's worth taking a crack at that?
Personally, if I were in charge of everything, I'd want to structure it in a way so that, obviously, with checks and balances, but so that the process is not so elaborate as to prevent change from happening when change has to happen. You need checks and balances. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about autocracy.
Dictator.
But I am talking about a system which allows change to occur more rapidly than ours.
Now, you know what drives change. You normally need a crisis. How do you get that in Greenwich?
Well, I hope we don't get the crisis, and that is what drives change. And I suspect that when, as and if we get a crisis in Greenwich, it will be because we've had a national crisis, not because Greenwich is going to have a crisis. You know, Greenwich is pretty well managed. That I or others may have, Peter Tessie, the BET, the others have done a good job. I'm not just here to say they're bums and they haven't done a good job. They have done a good job. I think that's true. I just think there are things as we move forward that ought to be addressed and that can be addressed in a better way. And hopefully we won't have a crisis that occurs. But, change is hard, and getting people to accept change is hard.
Now, let me ask you this, that we could export this to the country. We have this group at Indivisible Greenwich here. This is a grassroots kind of stuff that hasn't happened a lot. What do you think about that, and do you see this emerging in the country?
It's definitely emerging in the country. There are some more than 6,000 Indivisible entities throughout the United States. They probably have a membership in many millions in the aggregate. I don't know how many they have. I think it's a great thing. I think people getting involved, however they want to get involved, is a good thing. It certainly motivated me to get involved, and I think it has motivated people here in Greenwich to get involved and in the state of Connecticut. You know, there are 30 or 40, don't hold me to the number, 30 or 40 Indivisible units here in the state of Greenwich, and I think that's terrific. And I think if they push for change, then change is what we should have. So I think that's great.
All right, we're down to the last minute or two. I'll ask you some big stuff. What do you think about Trump moving the capital to Jerusalem and what's going on in Iran now and the Rocket Man and all these things?
Well, a variety. I guess I think Trump is an unfit to be president. I've said that. I think he is unfit. I think he's an abomination. I think he has disgraced the office, and I'm very sorry that he is there. So, with that as a background, to just tick them off, I think the move of the Capitol is a mistake at this time, not because I'm philosophically opposed to it, but because rather the way it is being done, it is nothing but poking the eyes of the Palestinians and others. As far as what's going on in Iran, I have no idea as to kind of where that is. And as far as the Rocket Man thing goes, that's just unbecoming and unhelpful. I mean, you know, it is just silly. I know there are people in this country who like that, who think that's smart, and think that's clever, and think that's standing up to be America. It's not. It's being a jerk. And candidly, even if it has some effect on him, on Kim Jong-un, in the rest of the world, does anybody understand how we are being viewed right now?
Yeah.
Whether in England, in France, in Italy, throughout the world, people have figured out that we have as a president a man who is temperamentally unfit for the job, but worse than that, is susceptible to one thing and one thing only, and that is flattery of his ego. You can probably get him to do anything if you just tell him how good he is. That's
all right.
Sad.
It's been a fascinating hour because of all the career moves. Thanks to Sandy Litvak. It is a remarkable career. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Sandy. Thanks to our national audience for listening. We'll see everybody next Sunday.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio,